Jeffrey Epstein did not build his empire alone.
New York Magazine named Jeffrey Epstein an international money man of mystery. Allegations that the financier had engaged in acts with minors began to surface. Investigators quickly realized that this was not an ordinary crime.
Behind the private jets, the Manhattan townhouse, the private island, and the endless stream of powerful men, there were four women. Women who scheduled the meetings, women who coordinated the travel, women who recruited, and women who kept the entire machine running. And here's the part that makes many people angry. None of them have been criminally charged at all. On today's Case Files, we are breaking down Epstein's core four: Leslie Groff, Sarah Kellen, Nadia Marcinkova, and Adriana Ross. The women at the operational center of Epstein's world. The money transfers. The modeling pipeline. The pilot licenses. The Fifth Amendment depositions. And the silence. Because when one man goes down, but the system survives, the question becomes, who else kept it alive? If Jeffrey Epstein was the face, Leslie Groff was the machine. For nearly two decades, Leslie worked as Jeffrey Epstein's executive assistant. But calling her an assistant almost undersells it. She wasn't just answering phones or picking up coffee for someone. She was controlling the logistics of a global operation. Her name appears over and over and over in the files, which of course makes sense because she's an assistant of his, and any assistant is going to send a lot of emails back and forth to their employer. But these emails tell a very different story of just a normal assistant-employer relationship. If something moved in Epstein's world, Leslie knew about it. According to civil lawsuits filed by some of Epstein's accusers, Leslie was alleged to have helped coordinate and plan what they are referring to as massages, the same word that appears over and over in the testimony about how this system operated. Leslie has denied any wrongdoing and has said that she knew nothing about the trafficking of it all. But the emails tell a very different story. Let's get into them. Martin Nowak wrote, "Dear Karina, could you please reply to Leslie? Maybe CC Jeffrey." She writes to Leslie, "Hi Leslie. The two girls were both from the University of Aisa in Romania. It is the oldest university in Romania in what used to be our capital a few centuries ago. Please let me know if Jeffrey needs more information." Then Leslie, so she read that email, wrote to Jeffrey and CC'd him, assuming, or forwarded the email saying, "Here is your answer." Here's another email from Leslie Groff to Jeffrey Epstein. "Regarding the flights for the Duchess and the girls from Heathrow to Miami and from New York to Heathrow, we were able to get the girls an economy round trip and the Duchess on business round trip." So it's clear in these emails she's helping manage the travel of these girls from places to New York or places to Jeffrey's island. Here's another one from Leslie Groff to Jeffrey Epstein. "I sent all the tickets for the girls to Redacted and requested she send them on to each girl once she receives your approval to do so." Here's another one. Jeffrey wrote to Leslie, "Give Redacted $1,000 to Bella." Leslie Groff wrote back, "I'm finding out when the Redacted can come see you." Then Leslie Groff wrote, "She will come between 12 and 1 p.m. So it's clear she's coordinating these meetups with Jeffrey Epstein and these women. Now, here is a very bizarre one as well. Leslie wrote to Elon Musk, it looks like, and Mary Beth, which is, I believe, his assistant, saying, "Hello, Mary Beth. I have now sent you a copy of all three girls' passports. Sorry, Redacted is upside down, but I figure you will print. Jeffrey will have his ID with him." Very interesting that there's so much conversation around passports and flying these women from places like Romania to the States. You know, one of Epstein's victims did testify, and she said that the minute she stepped on the plane, they took her passport from her, which I feel like is probably a very common way of trafficking someone, getting them on a plane with a passport, and then once they fly international waters and they're out of that country, take their passport and they're stuck wherever they fly to. This victim also went on to say that he then abused her and also demanded that she lose a bunch of weight. She then said, "On the 8th of February 2007, I wrote to Leslie, quote, 'Could you please tell Jeffrey to phone me on the number I have ASAP, as I am not prepared to go under 56 kg in order to study at Redacted.'" So I'm assuming that Jeffrey had told her, "I will pay for you to study at Redacted if you lose a certain amount of weight." And Leslie wrote back, "Hi Redacted, Jeffrey is awaiting your picture. And why were you hoping to hear from me before going to bed? Winky face, Les." So Leslie knowingly was saying, "Jeffrey needs a picture of your weight to make sure that your weight is what he had asked for." Doesn't seem very innocent to me. Leslie has denied any wrongdoing and has not been charged at all. No indictment, no arrest, no public trial. And I also found this weird email. Someone wrote to Leslie, "Leaving tomorrow morning early, and yes, of course, we will be there at 4. You need a pizza or anything? Leslie wrote back, haha, no, I don't need a pizza, but thank you for offering, winky face. Pizza. Interesting. Leslie is now allegedly living in Connecticut and has been seen and taken pictures of as she walks her dog. Here is a Google Maps video I found of where she actually lives. It's a giant mansion. Leslie is also a married mother. I was able to find her Instagram that's now been swiped completely clean. And I also found her husband's Twitter account in which he retweeted a tweet from a man named Lawrence Summers, who is known to be part of Epstein's circle. When you sit at the center of this awful, monstrous machine for 20 years, it's near impossible for people to not believe that you knew what was going on. If Leslie Groff handled the calendar, Sarah Kellen was truly Epstein's day-to-day assistant. She grew up a Jehovah's Witness and actually left the religion when she was 17 and pursued modeling before entering Jeffrey Epstein's world. She has said that she met him in the early 2000s and began working for him shortly after. Unlike Leslie, who came from a very professional administrative background, Sarah was closer in age to many of Epstein's victims. According to multiple civil lawsuits and victims' testimonies, Sarah was alleged to have helped recruit the girls and schedule these massages we were talking about. Sarah has denied any wrongdoing. In fact, she has said that she was a victim herself. Here is an email from her lawyers while they were in a plea negotiation. They wrote, quote, "We feel that given Redacted's abuse, which is her, and given the fact that we see her basically as a cog in Epstein's wheel, acting entirely at his direction and doing what she did at a time that she herself was a very vulnerable victim, a non-pros would be the appropriate disposition." If that is actually true, then of course I feel so bad for her past and that she had to go through that. But that doesn't excuse how many survivors have come forward using her name. A lawyer representing several accusers told the New York Times that, quote, "Sarah was really running that organization, bringing girls and getting them in and out of the Palm Beach home. Today, Sarah lives comfortably in a $6.2 million mansion in Miami and a $5.2 million New York City penthouse." She has said, quote, "I've been made out to be such a monster, but it's just not true. I'm a victim of Jeffrey Epstein. I was and abused weekly." She married a NASCAR driver, Brian Vickers, who is now filing for divorce from her. I wondered if part of the getting a divorce was finding out who she really was. But then I found this email from way back from Jeffrey that wrote, "Please wire Sarah $100,000 to be used for all Jackson Hole related expenses. She will have total flexibility on how to allocate it." And that was in reference to the wedding that she had with the NASCAR driver. So clearly he knew of Jeffrey Epstein. He was getting $100,000 to help with their wedding. And so Jeffrey Epstein was always part of the picture with their relationship, it's clear. So we have Leslie Groff handling the calendar, Sarah Kellen managing the day-to-day and helping to recruit, and Nadia Marcinkova may have been the most complicated figure of all of them. Multiple civil filings and investigative reports state that Nadia entered Jeffrey's orbit as a teenager after coming to United States from Yugoslavia in the 1990s. Some lawsuits allege that she was as young as 14 or 15 years old, which makes her one of Epstein's youngest known victims. Some accusers later testified that Epstein referred to Nadia as his sex slave. Very, very sad. But what happened after is where that story fractures. Over time, Nadia became very deeply embedded in Epstein's travel plans. Flight logs show her extensively traveling with him to all different places. Public records show that she was trained as a pilot. And Epstein even got her own plane called Lolita Express. And you know, planes were central in Jeffrey's operation. Palm Beach, Manhattan, New Mexico, the Virgin Islands. This movement was power, and Nadia was heavily involved with that. In civil lawsuits filed by Epstein's accusers, she was alleged to have helped recruit the girls and participate in that massage pipeline. And not only did she recruit the girls, but she also participated in the SA. She has denied any wrongdoing and has never been charged criminally. But here is a victim testimony. So this victim has written what has happened to them. And right here on 16, it says, you read it, "With Jeffrey Epstein and sex with Nadia." And here are some emails between her and Jeffrey Epstein. Her name is redacted, but people have found out that this is her. So Jeffrey wrote to her, quote, "There are millions of babies, very little good vegetable cream cheese." And we all know now what code words they used and what cream cheese meant. She wrote back to Jeffrey, quote, "Haha, do you want veggie cream cheese tomorrow? I would go look for it now." He wrote back, "Don't look, just go to 2J's. She was also the CEO of an aviation company called Aviloop. I found their YouTube channel and they still have like 5 or 6 YouTube shorts on the channel, and they are all unbelievably eerie to watch. Here is one of them.
Welcome to Aviloop, your collective buying website for anything aviation. We offer deals on flight lessons, pilot accessories, fuel, FBO services, charter flights, and even small aircraft. Our deals are usually 50 to 90% off. That means whether you want to learn to fly, charter an airplane, or to see more girls like me, Aviloop can help.
To see more girls like me?
You can even vote for your favorite deal attendant and win special prizes. Our membership is completely free. Our deals are unbeatable, and there's no catch.
Something about that video just feels so wrong. Like, even just watching it, you can feel that something about it just emanates from the screen. She looks so young, and talking about the pretty girls of it all, just... Someone commented, this is still up. Man, you guys are wild. People thought that she went missing after she was deposed in 2024. And there was a lot of speculation if she was off or what had happened to her.
People found out that Nadia has been very involved in like this Zen studio that's in New York City. And I was doing a little bit of research on this Zen Studies Society. Since Mark, Jeffrey's brother, still owns the model apartments, the apartments where Jeffrey housed models and victims, etc. Why would members of the Core Four or not still live there? And I put the address of this Zen Society studio into the map where I've been logging, where like all the co-conspirators were, where the modeling agents were, etc., etc. And look how close this Zen Society studio is to the apartments where Jeffrey housed victims, employees, models, etc.
Becca Day, who we just watched in that TikTok video, has done some of the best investigative work into Epstein, and I will link her below to check it out because I constantly am looking at her videos for resources and they're super informational and interesting. If Leslie Groff handled the logistics and Sarah Kellen managed the day-to-day operations and Nadia Marcinkova was really involved with the planes and the travel of it all, then Adriana represents something just as critical, the recruitment bridge. Adriana has been described in some of the civil lawsuits as one of the young women who entered Jeffrey's orbit and later became embedded into his world. Before her name surfaced in court filings, she had ties to the modeling industry, and public reporting has linked her to ID Models, a New York agency run by a man named Paolo Zimpoli, who is widely known for bringing Melania Trump to the United States during her early modeling career. There is no evidence that ID Models was part of Epstein's criminal activity, but modeling repeatedly appears in civil complaints as one of the environments through which young women were introduced to Epstein's network, often through promises of travel, career advancement, or opportunity. In several lawsuits filed by Epstein's accusers, Adriana was alleged to have assisted with recruitment and coordination inside of Epstein's household. She has denied any wrongdoing and has never been criminally charged. What makes her role significant is not her proximity to Epstein, but also her proximity to the entry points, modeling agencies, castings, international travel. These are spaces where access feels legitimate, even glamorous. And in that context, recruitment doesn't always look coercive. It can look like an opportunity. So we have one woman who handled the communication. We had one who handled the scheduling. We had one who had aviation access. And we had one that was tied to an industry that was repeatedly cited in lawsuits as a recruiting funnel. And yet again, none of them have been criminally charged and are potentially just living their lives as normal. Because in 2007, federal prosecutors negotiated what would become one of the most controversial plea deals ever, and that is called the Sweetheart Deal, which gave Jeffrey Epstein and any of his co-conspirators immunity. And many people think that this Core Four were part of that deal. I guess because we grew up for so many years kind of realizing how awful men can be and, you know, realizing how vindictive and monstrous these men of power can be, it almost felt less jarring to learn about the men than the women. And not to excuse them as behavior at all, of course I don't. And I think the men should be the first ones that are charged because they're the ones that actually were doing the harm themselves. But to hear about how women were recruiting other women, it just, I don't know, it just is a different kind of unsettling for me. Thank you for watching today's video. If you have an idea for what video you'd like to see me do next, please email me at matthewlcullen@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments below about this whole video. Do you think there will ever be more accountability in the case? And how do you think these women feel about the situation today? Thank you again so much for watching. I hope you are having a good day, and I will see you soon with another video. Okay, bye-bye.